Alaska offers free admission to active duty military families, Turtle Bay's newest exhibition, Liberty on the Border, is a perfect opportunity to enjoy this perk. Starting October 11th, you can learn why the Civil War came about and the impact it still has on society today. Liberty on the Border is presented by Senator Maurice and Marianne Johannesson, supported by Best Western Plus Hilltop Inn, C.R. Gibbs American Grill, and KCNR 1460 AM Free Fire Media. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning, State of Jefferson. I hope everybody's out there and enjoying this fine, beautiful Sunday morning that we're looking at. It is cold and frosty out there, but it is definitely a gorgeous day. You're here on 1460 AM KCNR with the Bear. Unfortunately, the Mouse is not going to be here today. She is out dealing with those pesky Yankees. They just keep seeming to pop up. She's got to go take care of them every so often. So I myself wasn't here last week, had some things going on the home front that had to be dealt with, but I am back and happy to be here with everybody this morning. So, I hope welcome back after Christmas, State of Jefferson, and I hope everything is going really well for everybody. Everybody had a good Christmas. I know we did in our house. Kids made out like banditos. It was a good time. It was really nice to have friends and family around and kind of get a chance to rest and reflect a little bit. And, you know, really here in the State of Jefferson, that's what the holidays have been providing us. It's been kind of quiet for us here in the movement. And in all honesty, it's been a really good thing because we have a large collection of good people, of real champions that have been out there for really the last 16 months, flat out, straight out, eating, living, breathing, sleeping, dreaming State of Jefferson. And I think we really needed the break to kind of collect ourselves and get ready for what's coming in 2015, because it's going to be a fantastic year for the State of Jefferson, and we are definitely coming out guns blazing, ready to go, and there's a lot of good things that are happening. We're kind of still on the blitz. We think we've got four more counties coming in the beginning of January. For those of you that don't know or don't remember or read the record searchlight so you have wrong information, just give you a real quick recap on where the State of Jefferson has gone. We'll be doing that a little bit later. Our guest Terry Raposo will be calling in and letting us know where the State of Jefferson's come from the last 16 months and kind of give you a highlight of where we're going. We believe Plumas County, Sierra County, Nevada County, Lake County, Trinity County, and Mendocino County will all be within the Jefferson fold very soon. A lot of fantastic things that are happening. And one of the things that we're looking at and we've been promising is the two counties that turned Jefferson down, Del Norte County, who did it on a vote of the ballot. Largely that was backed by tens of thousands of dollars of SEIU money and the prison guards union over there telling outright lies to their prison guard members and their families and issuing them letters on the day of the vote stating that they would lose their jobs that day if they voted for the State of Jefferson because the State of Jefferson was going to shut down the prisons. Here in Shasta County, we have a board of supervisors who refused to even listen to the presentation for the State of Jefferson. They claimed that they had all the information that they needed from the State of Jefferson, and they knew all the facts and figures, yet they continually misquote facts. They continually give wrong information about the state of Jefferson. When asked, they still have not examined the 88-page financial report or the financial model that's been provided. They have absolutely stuck their heads in the sand, with the exception of Bill Chappell. The other four members on the board, Leonard Modi, Pam Giacomini, Les Baugh, David Kehoe, have absolutely stuck their head in the sand and refused to even examine the information about the state of Jefferson. And we've been doing some review and some legwork on the best way to attack that and, you know, what we want to do. And one of the things that we found is that the Board of Supervisors Board of Supervisors have a duty and an obligation to operate in good faith with the citizens. Now, I think refusing to absolutely listen to them is failure to operate in good faith. We also have the ability constitutionally to petition and redress our government for conclusion of our grievances. That was also denied to us by the Shasta County Board of Supervisors. So there's all of these different things that we're looking at and coming together on. And there's a lot that we can't do until March because of the rules and the laws of the county and election law and things like that. There's there's a lot that we really can't touch in Shasta County till March, but when March comes, those things are absolutely coming because we have a board, some members that lied. We have a board that the case certainly can be made failed to operate in good faith. We have a board, the argument can certainly be made that they did not allow us our constitutionally guaranteed right to redress our government for grievances. We are absolutely denied that. They actually took a vote to refuse to listen. To even hear. And that's a mistake that they're going to pay for here in this county. So know that that's coming. There's other good things. January 15th, we're headed down to Sacramento. We're going to talk about that in just a minute, but we are going to cut out to our first break here, and then we will have our guest on and kind of highlight where Jefferson's been and where we're going. So stay tuned. And if you want to call in asking questions, it's 605-4567. We'll see you back in just a couple minutes.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
If you've served in the active duty of the armed forces and are impaired because of an accident, injury, or exposure to hazardous substance, you may be eligible for compensation from the Department of Veterans Affairs. The compensation program is your country's way of honoring your service and sacrifice by providing financial assistance to bridge the gap between what you are able to earn now and what you could have earned if you were not impaired. VA compensation claims could be as simple as a hearing loss claim to a very complex muscular, skeletal, or neurological disorder. Be wary of individuals who offer assistance with your VA claims, especially those who ask you to pay for VA claims assistance. Your Shasta County Veterans Service Office is here to help. We are accredited, and there's never a charge for our services. For more information on how we can help, please call us at 225-5616.
At Mary's Pizza Shack, even the commercials are homemade.
For Italian families, the holiday means food, fun, and familia. This holiday season, Kathy and I would like to invite you to celebrate your holiday with us here at Mary's Pizza Shack. And for a limited time, get $10 in Mary's money when you buy a $50 gift card. Or go big, get $20 in Mary's money with a $100 purchase. Share your homemade comfort food at your office or in your home with Mary's Party Trays. See our catering menus or call for a complete list of menu items available. Call Mary's Pizza Shack in Reading at 247-1110 or in our Anderson location at 378-1110. Mary's Pizza Shack, homemade for the holidays.
Happy holidays from our family to yours.
Captain Eric Lawrence needed help after a paralyzing injury in Afghanistan.
PVA helped me write my resume, got me a job interview. I got the job.
To learn more, visit PVA.org, a public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to the Jefferson State of Mind, everybody. And as I said, I hope everybody had a good Christmas. We're going to dive right into our phone call here and see how things are going. You there, Terry?
I'm here, buddy. How you doing?
Fantastic. I'm actually batteries are recharged, ramped up, and raring to go.
Yeah, you sound energized, my friend. Very much so.
Yeah, it was a good Christmas.
Anyway, to just get on really quickly with what we've got going on Jefferson, the first real event we have is January 8th through the 11th. We will have a booth, a corner booth, in the Cal Expo Sportsman Show. It's going to be fantastic. Around 40,000 people went there last year, and I know that we printed up 10,000 brochures, so we're pretty excited about that. We'll have a booth. Hildy will be selling gear. We'll have brochures, we'll have people explaining, answering questions for folks. So that should be a great event. And then as you were talking about on January the 15th, Mark Barrett is going to deliver four more declarations to the Secretary of State. And that's going to be pretty exciting. That event starts on the West Lawn at 11 a.m. Mark will probably be in the buildings before then. And that should be a really great event. Now, we have a bus chartered that's going to be coming out of Red Bluff, and I'm going to give everybody the number here so they have it. There are eight seats left on this bus. It leaves Red Bluff at 8 a.m. from Tractor Supply, and then it goes to Corning and picks up folks at Love's Truck Stop at 8:20, and then Williams, it goes to Grand Zella's parking lot there, and they'll pick up people around 9:15. Now, the cost is only $25. The bus leaves at it gets there at 10:30, and it'll leave at 2:30, so you'll have plenty of time for the event. And for $25 round trip, it's quite a deal. They do have eight seats left, and you can contact Patty Smith at area code 530-833-0265. That's 530-833-0265. 0265, Patty Smith, and she can give you the rest of the information on that. But it's a great deal. If folks want to go down there and just, ride down on the bus, don't have to worry about parking, and bring a sack lunch. Now, you were talking about presentations in different counties we're going to.
Mm-hmm.
We know on the 6th, the 13th, the 21st, and the 27th, every Tuesday in January, basically, we have potentially booked. Lake County is one. Plumas might be the first one. In Colusa County, we're not only doing Board of Supervisors. Well, I think we're going to do two city councils first. I've got to get back with Ken there, and that's steering committee. But I believe we're doing the city council of Colusa, and then we're doing the city council of Williams. So I think that's the first two things we have there. And Red, I wanted you to expound a little bit on what you were saying about the Board of Supervisors, because the Record Searchlight had it wrong. There are 20 counties engaged.
Yeah, not 12.
Not 12. There are 20. We have 20 committees. And I know that because I'm going to be talking, as I do, on at least a biweekly basis to all of them within the next 2 days. Mm-hmm. And every single county, with the exception of Shasta, every one of them has allowed a presentation. Without any malice or anything else, it's amazing to me. I've never seen anything like Shasta County, where you have a board of supervisors that continually votes and goes against basically the will of the people.
Well, it's absolutely true, or outright refuses to listen to the will of the people and continues to do what they want. And, through some investigation on some avenues that we may have to deal with that is, the fact that we have a right to redress and petition our government constitutionally for our grievances. That was denied. They completely failed to operate in good faith with us. And in meeting with other members of the community and the county, they have grievances against the Shasta County, where they've been refused to be listened to on several different issues. And as these different groups are kind of culminating together and coalescing and coming together and, deciding, hey, we all better pull this cart in the same direction or we're in trouble, we're coming to the conclusion there's a few of these people that probably shouldn't be in their seat, one of them in particular. And
well, I think one of the things that kind of bothered me was the fact that a presentation was never allowed. Now, I had talked to Les Baugh, as Mark Baird had previously, stating that we'd like to have a presentation. Obviously, we can give you the subject matter, and then you can certainly ask us, what it is that you want us to give you. Like we did, we gave him, as you had said earlier, an 88-page report. Mm-hmm. And the morning they decided they'd put this on as a discussion item, I asked Les that question. I said, both myself and Red Smith had asked you for a presentation. I'd asked you that in person, and he looked at me and said, "Well, no, this is the first I've ever heard of it."
Which is a bald-faced lie.
Gosh, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, wow. So to me, that's that kind of took me back a little bit. I said, "Really? We talked about it. You talked about it with several people."
I guess the
idea of people who get elected saying one thing before they get elected and something after I think that no matter what side you're on this issue, people have got to have enough of that stuff.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely the case. Even though there's some board of supervisors that many of us don't agree with their stance, at least they were honest and open about it. They didn't attempt to deceive a voter. They didn't tell outright bald-faced lies to get elected and then do an abrupt 180 once they were elected. And I think, as I said, there's a lot of people in the county that are very upset with the particular board of supervisor about exactly that on several different issues. And I think if there's any good that has come of this is the actions here in Shasta County of our board and to an extent our city council are starting to bring the community together. So in a manner to operate together, because we're getting tired of it.
Well, I think that you just hit the nail on the head. It really is sort of a new day. It's pretty interesting. I know in a conversation I had with a couple of city council members last week, one of them was, the thing is that Reading is so divided. The people are divided. And I said, no, the people are not divided. You need to understand that Susan Wilson, basically, who is the chair of the Women's League of Voters. I mean, she shook my hand after you guys denied people their right to speak at the beginning of council meetings. Tom Corrado, who is now who's a union representative, is now on a radio program with Patrick Jones.
And has become someone I believe many of us consider a good friend.
Oh, he's great. You know, John Wilson, who is a lifelong Democrat and union leader. I mean, he and I shared an adult beverage, and we found a lot in common. We have the ACLU, people from there that have called us. I mean, it's amazing to think that what the Reading City Council did is they brought people together. They brought people who basically had disagreements on things together. So they actually have made it okay. It's really the people that are looking at the city council saying, what are you doing? The paper is on the same side as the Tea Party. I mean, it's beyond me what they thought they were going to do here or prove here. But I think it's overreach of bureaucracy. What do you think?
I think it is. And it's the expanding bureaucracy, expanding to meet the needs of the expanding bureaucracy. It's a self-revolving door. We are going to cut ourselves to another caller here real quick. Stay on the line, Terry. We got David in San Francisco.
Sure.
Hey, morning.
Morning.
Hey, you know, I called because I was, when I was listening to you describing what's going on up there, I was going to ask you if you had any public records laws, and maybe the reason, you know, my question might even fit into why the ACLU is interested in what's being said. Is the down here in San Francisco, we the people own the records. When government is hard at work, they're building, you know, files of this and that, and we the people own that. And so we the people are supposed to be able to see our records. We're able to see the books. We're able to see, you know, which roads are supposed to have been potholed and which, what they charged per pothole and whether or not we the people got a fair deal or a good deal or a bad deal, right? So when you're starting to describe your local government, are you having troubles receiving records?
Well, we have done some public records requests. Some have come very quickly and expediently. When we requested the public records in regards to the state of Jefferson, we still don't feel that we have seen all of the documentation. You can tell from the email chains and the different things that there's pieces missing. And according to the Public Records Act, access is supposed to be immediate. It took me close to 2 months back and forth with the legal department of our county and county council to actually get any of the records from the Board of Supervisors, the things that went on behind the scene. We have found some things in there that we believe constitute malfeasance. We're kind of holding those cards close to the vest for our decision on which way to approach this. But it did take us over 2 months to get the pertinent documents. By the time it was finished, I had a private lawyer assigned to me by the county that was babysitting me through the process. Every email that was coming through by the end of it had six different lawyers' signature on it. It was a ridiculous process considering that it's supposed to be transparent and access immediate.
Okay, well, it gets into two questions. When you said the state of Jefferson, now is that a nonprofit or is that that's kind of like a fictitious name. What do they call it when you have a business license? You get a fictitious name license. Like your business name is trademarked, right? So that's a fictitious name. And the idea that is state of Jefferson more of like a nonprofit as opposed to the county government?
No, the state of Jefferson is a movement to separate Northern
right.
California from Southern California.
Yeah, so do they have their own government, so to speak, and you're having trouble receiving records from them?
There is no government entity there. What you really have going here is a movement by the people, understanding the size and scope of California can't be governed. It's a movement to separate 20 counties at this particular point in time from the southern counties. First of all, did you know that every senator has 1 million constituents? How do you govern that way? Do you know that every assemblyman has 450,000 constituents? How do you govern that way? And because of a Supreme Court case called Reynolds versus Sims, we went from the federal model. As you know, in Maine we have two senators, and in California we have two senators, regardless of size or population, because what happened is the Founding Fathers totally believed that what we needed was a position of counties and townships being represented along with the urban areas and the populous areas. That's why we have the House and we have the Senate. That's the way California was. We had a senator per county. Now, the Northern California section, a third of the landmass, has five representatives, and Los Angeles County alone has 34. So basically, we're getting laws inflicted upon us that we have no say about, and that's what this is about.
Sure.
But,
well,
but really and truly, there's no nonprofit. It's nothing like that. And I would suggest that you go on jeffersondeclaration.net and look at a couple of different things on there to get educated.
Let him get to what he's asking then. If you're familiar with the state of Jefferson,
I'm familiar with it because I kind of agree. You know, and even if you look at the 1914 Congress in the United States, where Congress was limited to 435 members, we used to get a brand new congressman every time there were 60,000 more people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the idea, and in fact, somebody was telling me it used to be 30,000 people. So the whole idea that we now have Congress that each one is supposed to represent 800,000 people. There's no way.
Well,
we
actually,
can get
our voter dilution, in the state of California is actually worse than that.
Sure. And when you're talking about a board of supervisor, did you say 450,000 per board of supervisor?
No, that would be per state assemblyman.
State assemblyman
represents roughly a half million.
Yeah, I mean, that's also getting so beyond what a U.S. congressman used to cover. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, it also gets into that an incumbent gets reelected.
Well, the issue that we,
them
the issue that we
ago,
have is a couple of,
almost still
sir,
stands
let me
after
speak,
20 years.
Please. So what the issue that we have is not only the dilution of our vote due to the number of people that they have to represent. And a lot of people have asked us, okay, you restore representation. We see the need to restore representation in the state of California. Well, at that point, why do you need a new state? Well, at that point, under the current model, we would be looking at a state legislature of over 1,260-some assemblymen and 1,260-some senators, and we would never accomplish anything.
Well, that's not completely true, because China is able to do a certain amount of stuff.
Are you suggesting that we follow the model of the communist Chinese?
No, but, I mean, there are examples of huge populations that are able to, I mean, with computers nowadays, I mean, you could have a Congress that that doesn't actually meet in a single hall, and, you know, people would be basically tweeting their votes, and, you know, the conversations are where the debate in Congress, so to speak, could be done online.
We got to cut ourselves out here to a break before the money lenders break my kneecaps. So we'll be back in just a minute.
I'm a Ralph Nader kind of guy, and so that's I'm kind of putting in my two cents about the public records.
All right, we do. We're getting off to a break. If you guys have any questions or comments, call in here to 605-4567.
Jones's Fort, Redding's full-line gun shop, offers the largest selection of guns and gun accessories in the North State. We are Redding's full-line gun shop. Since 1969, we have been serving the Redding area. We at Jones's Fort take pride in being able to offer you sound advice on all your gun questions. You'll always find a good selection of new and used guns at Jones's Fort. We'll help you find the gun that is perfect for you. Have a gun you no longer need? Bring it to us. We buy, trade, and consign. Informal appraisals are given free at no charge. No gun shop is complete without expert gunsmiths. We have four full-time gunsmiths who can service all types of firearms. In our full machine shop, we can enhance the performance of your favorite gun or build you a custom gun to meet your needs. Marshal Dave Jones II heads up our Firearm Institute, where we do California concealed weapon classes, Utah classes, and hunter education classes. Come see us at Jones's Fort.
If you take multiple prescriptions, you know the hassle of renewing prescriptions as they run out. Every prescription is another trip to the pharmacy. Oh, it could be three or four or five trips in a month. Now, Owens Pharmacy can make your life easier with MedSaves. It's a new service that adjusts your pill count so that all your prescriptions renew on the same day. One date to renew all your prescriptions for 30 or 90 days, and it's automatic. So you don't need to remember it, and you won't run out. Save time, save gas, save the hassle. Let us make your life easier. Call Owens Pharmacy today to sign up for MedSync. Imagine the time you'll save. Call 1-800-MY-OWENS and we'll give you one less thing to remember. Owens Pharmacy, making your life easier.
Looking for a gift your friends and family can enjoy all year long? Memberships for Turtle Bay Exploration Park always make the perfect gift. This holiday season, the value is even better. All gift memberships are $15 off through November and December. That's just $65 for a year of Turtle Bay fun for two adults and up to four children. Give the gift of exploration this year for just $15 off. Visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Well, welcome back, State of Jefferson. How's everybody doing? All right. So, I just wanted to say thank you to David for calling in, and you know, that's one of the things that makes things great and possible, and one of the things that we have a real problem with when our elected officials don't listen to us is there are great solutions that are brought about by the citizens and by the community. Even if you don't agree with some of the ideas, there is an amazing amount of entrepreneurial spirit in Americans and Californians that has just been curtailed by the fact that people won't listen. So, getting back on to what's up next for the state of Jefferson. Terry, you still there?
I'm here, but I'd kind of like to hear also what it is that California is ready to do to us. I know that you've done a little research, and maybe you could share with the folks what some of those new laws are. You said there was 148 new bills?
There are 148 new bills, laws, wow, and resolutions already sitting waiting for the new legislature to be seated. And there's some doozies in here. And we've just started digging, so we might find some more. But California's New Year's resolutions, as they're looking so far, here we've got an act relating to immigration, that establishing a law that the Franchise Tax Board will allow illegal immigrants to file a tax return and receive a tax return. Now, on the surface, maybe a lot of people say, okay, well, that's good. They're here, they're working, they're contributing. What this also allows them to do, because California is tying this with the earned income credit, that means if you have a certain number of children, you get so much money back on the federal model. This would allow someone who has collected money on welfare as an illegal immigrant to file a tax return and receive a tax return for money that they never contributed.
Wow.
I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And how does someone that is working illegally get to file a tax return and receive the benefits of a tax return? It's de facto amnesty on the state level, is what that comes into. So we're going to be digging into that one a little bit more. Next up, we have Medi-Cal and how it is the right and duty of the state legislature to pass this law that Medi-Cal shall be extended to all citizens of California, regardless of immigration status.
What does citizens of California and immigration have to do with one another?
Well, that's, you know, what I'm kind of trying to figure out. So you can be a citizen of California,
right,
but not be a citizen of America?
Right.
I'm still trying to understand the verbiage of that one, regardless of immigration status. So all I have to do is step across the line, and I'm a citizen of California regardless?
Well, I know a lot of people and a lot of resistance we've gotten from people, or not resistance, but questions we've gotten from people about the state of Jefferson is that we need California's money. Well, aren't they going to take money from us for all these programs?
Well, they are. They're absolutely sucking us dry. And one of the things that we always ask people when they say, well, what do we do without California's money? Well, look at the laws that are being passed. How much money are they siphoning out of the cities? None. They're not passing, you know, we've got like the fire fee. Okay, they don't have the concrete fee. They don't have the high-rise fee. They don't have anything like that. They don't have any specific taxation programs that are pointed just at the urbanites because there's no money in the urban areas. They are siphoning out the last wealth of the rural areas that there is. An example is the pilot program that is getting underway January 1st, where they're testing the best way to tax people on every mile that they drive in the state of California. You know, and that's a perfect example of who is that law pointed at. Urbanites that have access to public transportation, have to drive a couple of miles to get to work, you know, a couple of miles to go to school, to the store, can take a public transport. Or somebody in a rural area, for example, Mark Baird, who has to drive 8 miles just to get to his mailbox.
Well, that and also, you know, even talking about Medi-Cal and what's going on there, I know medically a lot of doctors that are specialists, and if you have an issue, and actually whatever health issue you have nowadays, you usually go to a specialist. A general practitioner is sort of somebody who refers you to somebody else the way it's been going. And I know that, for example, that there's a lot of types of that type of doctor that is not even in the Redding area. You have to go to Chico for some health issues. That would be, gosh, what, about 150 miles round trip. How would that work out for people?
That's true, and it's getting worse the longer that Obamacare marches across the face of the nation.
Well, you know, one of the things that we have is that, you know, and some of the things we can really control, and I think we have to look at that this year, is, you know, the issue of Common Core. We can go ahead and we can fight against that issue. We can fight against the issue of CARB, which Fred Kelly Grant, the Coordination Committee in Redding, and all you folks are doing a great job on. Also, the state of Jefferson is probably the key point there, because the idea of having a free state and having a state that basically is using the Ninth and Tenth Amendment and refusing to allow government overreach, that seems to be the only thing we can actually combat, that in a local government. I mean, it's always started with local government. And I would submit to you that our local government far overreaches the other 19 counties that I've been to anyway.
Well, I would agree with that assessment. With all of the different places that we have traveled and the different issues that we've seen, and even when we butt up against board of supervisors that don't necessarily agree or are hesitant at first or have their own issues in their own counties, I have never seen anything as pervasive as what we have found in Shasta County, and that's through our county and city levels. Some of the things that are going on here and things that are going to get exposed. There's things that we know absolutely that are going on, and when we're comfortable that we can prove that beyond a shadow of a doubt, those things are coming out. And it's just, I haven't seen anything like it, the malfeasance or the corruption. It's disgusting. And the unwillingness of many of our so-called media here to even investigate it, let alone report accurately on it, they've completely fallen down on the job. They've let it go. They don't even report the things that the state of California is doing openly to us. I mean, one of these other ones that we're looking at, do you know that the state of California, that the legislature is going to seize control of the university system?
I did not know that.
Yeah, there is a resolution. This is from Senate Bill number 1. That they want to disband the Board of Regents and the controlling board of the University of California and place it under direct control of the California State Legislature.
Unbelievable. Now, you were mentioning something in a conversation we had over the weekend about water. There's a water issue or something to do with the water districts. There's a bill about that.
Yeah, I wanted to save that one until after our last break here, because that one's going to take a minute to explain, because the way they kind of try to word it and hide it is interesting. But if you think about this one here with the state legislature, seizing control of the university system, you're going to have the politicians in direct control of what is taught in our schools.
Wow.
It's not going to be school board people. It's not going to be teachers. It's going to be an elected politician that is directly deciding on the curriculum, what is funded, what is not funded, what is taught, what is not taught in our university system. That is your government seizing control of education.
Do you think maybe the main part of apathy that we have in California is with parents and with just working folk? Do you think it's just them just not knowing and going along and accepting, or what do you think the bottom line is to all that, Red?
I think the bottom line is everybody has a deep-seated sense that something is absolutely wrong. And a lot of them have no idea what to do about it. And I think that's one of the reasons that Jefferson caught fire the way that it did, is because people see it as the solution. They hear it, they understand it, they grasp it, they know why it will work, and they become so excited and they become so hopeful. It's one of my favorite parts of the whole thing is watching hope come from people, because you, before Jefferson Town Hall, you watch people come in and they're kind of hangdog, some of them, and they're like, man, you know, I kind of hope this happens. You know, it sounds like a good deal. We've got to do something. And we've heard so many stories of, you know, I've lost my business and I have to move out of state and, you know, my kids are gone and all of these different things. And then by the end of the town hall, people listen, they hear the process, they understand the legality of it and the ability to do it, and they're hopeful. They're ready for a fight. They believe again. And that's one of my favorite parts of this whole thing.
Yeah, very quickly, in Lake County 3 weeks ago, what you're saying is absolutely true. There's a gentleman, after we gave the presentation for the state of Jefferson, there was a public comment period allowed that allowed 3 minutes per person. A gentleman got up and spoke of his business he was taking from Lake County and moving to Oregon that employed 900 people. And he was moving it because he was being regulated out of business in the state of California. And at that particular point, two of the supervisors said that if they had a declaration, they'd sign it right there during this presentation. One said, which I think is probably the best quote I've heard, "We'd be fools not to want to have a seat at this table."
Yeah. And you would be. Why would you not want to be able to sit around the table and discuss representation? I mean, that's basically what happened here in Shasta County, is they said, we don't even want to hear it. We don't. Not only do we not want representation for our citizens, we don't even want to discuss anything about representation for our citizens.
What I found interesting very quickly was when David Keogh read his motion, and he was reading it off a sheet of paper. I never really saw him writing. When did he have time to write down that motion saying that the state of Jefferson couldn't even be brought up again unless there was a majority of the Board of Supervisors who would allow it? I mean, and he read it. And I remember Les Bach telling him to speak up.
Off of a typed sheet of paper.
Pardon me?
Off of a typed or printed sheet of paper.
Wow, wow. I remember Les Baugh saying, well, you need to speak up, David, so the folks can hear you. Yeah. I've never had a problem hearing David Keogh at a Board of Supervisors meeting.
No. And we got to get off to our last break. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. If you have anything to call or comment, 605-4567.
Happy holidays. Holiday season is among us. What to get family, friends, neighbors, or coworkers? Well, check out Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Tobacco and Brew has a variety of wine, cigars, assorted coffees and teas, and other goodies. If you're searching for those under $20 gifts, Tobacco and Brew has just received a shipment of armored wallets priced at just $9.99. Be smart. Be protected from identity theft with an armored wallet. Great stocking stuffer. Also new at Tobacco and Brew in the largest walk-in humidor, Headley Grange, Fort Kicks, J.D. Howard Reserve, and Super Ligero, all top-rated by Cigar Aficionado. While you're there, get your coffee by the pound. Holiday favorites, pumpkin spice, s'mores, and the special of the month, Sally Strawberry Mocha, 16 ounces for just $3.50. It's all at Tobacco and Brew.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas. I've been in practice for 10 years as owner of HealthWise Chiropractic. Not only do we have fun seeing entire families and athletes, but we see the hard workers of this town. We love our occupational athletes. Work better, feel better, reduce injury, prevent chronic disease, boost metabolism, increase energy and productivity, live a healthier and pain-free life with my new exercise app for your phone and computer. Check us out on Facebook at HealthWise Chiropractic. For a free one-month trial, use Dr. Maria 1. We love our occupational athletes at HealthWise Chiropractic.
There's nothing like being home for the holidays, yet our animal shelter is full of wonderful dogs and cats that may not have a home of their own this holiday season. During the months of November and December, Haven Humane Society is challenging the community to give 200 shelter pets a home for the holidays. Adoption fees are discounted up to 50%. Please give a shelter dog or cat a place to call home this holiday season. Follow our challenge on Facebook and visit Haven Humane Society at 7449 East Side Road to bring home the greatest gift of all this holiday season.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
My old man, sad old man, spent his life living off the land. Dirty hands and a clean soul. It breaks his heart seeing foreign cars filled with fuel it isn't ours. And wearing cotton we didn't grow.
Alrighty. Welcome back to our last couple of minutes here. Bob, you got an update from Patty Smith on the bus to Sacramento?
I do. She's in the chat room, which you can join as well. Anyone else listening at kcnr1460.com. Patty Smith says, I have four seats left for the bus January 15th going to Sacramento for Declaration Day, $25 per person. The first pickup will be at 8 in the morning in Red Bluff at Tractor Supplies parking lot on South Main. The second pickup will be in Corning at 8:15 at the Love's truck stop parking lot on 99W and South Avenue, 99W and South Avenue in Corning. And the third pickup will be in Williams at Granzella's parking lot. That'll be at 9 a.m. in Williams. Then the bus will head home from Sacramento at 2:30 that afternoon. Oh, there you have it. Four seats are left on that bus. Patty's number, by the way, was 530-833-0265. If you'd like to get one of those four remaining seats, 530-833-0265.
Better grab a seat while you can. They're going fast. So, all right. And the last couple minutes we got, I wanted to dive into this further groundwater regulation that we've got going on. And we're kind of investigating some things on that. For those of you that don't know, almonds are in the state of California, are a huge business here. It's a $11 billion industry. And these new groundwater regulations could be the death of that industry. Now, for those of you that don't know, the legislature and the government and the governor signed in a bill that is going to require groundwater regulation on private property. What that means is basically local water districts, local water boards, things like that are going to come onto your private property and insist that you have a monitoring system on your well to see how much of your own private water that you use, and are going to have the ability to charge you for using your own water with your own water rights. Now, they said that this would be the end of it. They would let local water districts figure it out, things like that. Well, in the very next round of the legislature, we have a commission, a new law that's going to set up a commission to oversee all of these water boards that basically has the power that if they send a letter to a local water board saying that they are not in compliance with the intentions of the law within 90 days, they can seize control of that local water board. Here's the problem, is they still have not defined the conditions that must be met to be in compliance. Basically, they've said we can take control of your water board and by proxy your private well if you don't meet the conditions set forth by the California Water Control Board, but they have not defined the terms of what is compliance. So basically, they can arbitrarily send a notice to your local water board and seize control of your groundwater. You know, let that sink in and think about it. We've got one more caller here I think we can get to really quick. We got Billy Bob from Palo Cedro. You there, Billy Bob?
Listen, I was just wondering, where can we get you guys some funding? Do you have on that website a place for people to donate? Because of all the expense and cost of time and gas that you guys are going to have to put on the books here.
You want to grab that one, Terry?
I do. You know, the main thing people could do to help is to get involved.
That's it.
Get engaged. Come to the tea party on Monday night. Every Monday night in Destiny Fellowship Church, come there and get involved and go to the breakout meeting and talk with the folks there. Go to the city, go to the Board of Supervisors, send letters to them, call them.
Come with us to Shasta College, Simpson College.
You can see where we have an address where you can send a donation to. But really what we need you to do is to spend your money on you and join us. We need 10,000 times 10,000. We need people calling the Assembly. We need people calling the Senate in Sacramento. We need them calling up and saying you need to split the state. It's too large to be governed. We can't be governed from 500 miles away. And one senator per a million people is not representation.
Terry. Okay, Billy Bob, if you want to donate, you can go to the website. But as Terry was expressing, we really need boots on the ground volunteers.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Good job, you guys. Keep up the good work.
Thanks
very
Bob.
Much. So, and just wanted to make sure that we're really clear on what's coming with this groundwater regulation thing. Now that you have to have these monitoring devices on your well, the state of California is trying to pass a law that says that they can seize control of the water district that controls that well if that water district is not in compliance with California State Water Board standards. But the state of California has not defined what those standards are. So for any reason that they come up with at the time, because there are no standards, they can issue a proclamation and seize control of a water district and by proxy your well. This one is very important that people understand that and keep a look at it and what's going on. You've got a state that is, the legislature's now trying to seize control of our university system. They've seized control of our health care. They've seized control of our water. They're finding ways to intrude on our private property. At what point do we actually wake up and go, this is no longer America. We are existing in a socialist communist country. Because that's what it is. When your government controls everything, that is not democracy, that is not constitutional republic, that is communism. Now, when you have them doing it in conjunction with corporations, that's fascism. And that's exactly what we have going on. That's what we're fighting. That and our lack of representation. And as Terry so eloquently expressed, what we need is not money. We need boots on the ground volunteers. We need people gathering petitions. We need people handing out literature. We need people that are calling and writing their boards of supervisors, their assemblymen, their state senators. And it's coming to the point where we're going to have to start practicing civil disobedience and absolute refusal to comply. So have more to go on. Catch us next Sunday. We are out of time. Terry, thank you for the call in and everything. And we are out of here. We will see you next Sunday.
Actually, Reg, you got a minute and a half left.
Oh, do I? Okay.
Yeah.
I got 90 seconds left. Sorry about that. So, now what am I going to talk about for 90 seconds, Bob?
Well, that's, I didn't have Terry turned up here, but Terry, do you have any closing thoughts?
Just that, Red, thanks for what you do on the radio program. And again, you know, really and truly, Billy Bob, I couldn't hear really that well on here. I hope I didn't talk over you, but we need you, my friend. We need people. We need to have bodies out there. We need to have people that are engaged mm-hmm. in trying to get this to happen.
And come down Monday nights. State of Jefferson breaks out at about 7:30 every Monday night. What we're doing, we're going to be doing some great outreach programs here in Shasta County. Yeah, there is no meeting this Monday, though.
No meeting this Monday. The next meeting we will have will be January the 5th, and we'll have Patrick Jones and Rob Burrows there, too.
Absolutely fantastic.
January 5th is the next meeting.
Yeah, come find out what you can do for help. We appreciate the monetary donations, but we would happily trade that for another set of boots on the ground.
Yep.
All right, enjoy, everybody.
All right, thanks, Red. This has been the Jefferson State of Mind program on AM 1460 KCNR. Stay tuned for 2 hours of Sovereign Minds.
I feel no shame.
And this is KCNR Shasta Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Darkness has ended the first day of searching for missing Air Asia Flight 8501 in the Java Sea. No distress signal ever came, but the pilot was clearly trying to avoid some bad conditions.
According to the weather people, it was very bad, and he was climbing to a higher altitude, and had called in to report that he wanted to request a higher altitude, which was granted.
Former National Transportation Safety Board member John Golia, there were 162 people on board. The flight was bound from Indonesia for Singapore. Greek officials say gale force winds and poor visibility have made it awfully difficult to try and evacuate nearly 500 people from a burning ferry off the Greek island of Corfu today. The blaze broke out on the car deck of the Italian-flagged Norman Atlantic. Officials say the ship is not in immediate danger of sinking. They've got about 120 people off so far.